All right, we're ready. Good morning. Happy Grandparents Day today. Grandparents rule, you know. Several of our announcements this morning I want to bring to your attention. Don't forget Pastor Dina, Bible study this Tuesday in the Camellia Room. So sign up for that. Come to the Camellia Room for that, and or join her on Zoom. So please take advantage of that. Also, Grace Point is having an event on the Sunday the 27th for a Rescue Sunday for children that are awareness of exploited children. They are collecting items, certain items you'll find on the your screen, and they're collecting them. But it's at 5:15 in the evening on this Sunday, the 27th. So if that's inconvenient, bring all your things, articles to the our church office, and they will be distributed from there. So I encourage you to collect what you can for that. Of course, all our other announcements are usually there so for you to follow. If I may take just a moment of personal time, Beth and I have been your greeters on Sunday morning for several years now. And we miss you. We miss you so very much. We miss you coming up the walk from the drive, from the parking lots. We miss you coming through the breezeway. We miss you coming off the Adams Street doors there. We just miss you so very much these Sunday mornings. And we hope, Pastor Phillips, that prayerfully we will soon be able to greet you with a handshake, with a hug, with a smile, with just be able to see you and talk with you once more. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. Please join me in the call to worship then. You have searched me, Lord, you know me. You know where I sit and where I rise. You receive my thoughts from afar. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Your works are wonderful. Please join in our hymn, How Great Thou Art, number 77, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Some wonder, consider all the world thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the thunder, thy path throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glens I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in. That on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great. Oh.
share your joys and concerns by calling into the church office, and that will be presented from that situation there. So let's continue with our order of worship with our unison prayer. Join me, please. Dear Lord Jesus, when troubles crush us, we feel like a small sparrow,
insignificant and forgotten.
But you know our trials and temptations.
You watch over our every move from above. You even go before us and prepare our path. You are such a faithful companion on this lonely journey.
Please comfort us, our troubled heart, by your Spirit,
that
we may live in joy of your goodness. For your name's sake, amen.
Amen. I would like us to remember in our prayers the families of Linda. Many of you have received the email prayer requests from the church informing you that Linda's brother Bill passed on, and we want to pray for Linda's family, and also continue to pray for the firefighters. As you know, that fires in California is everywhere, and it's so a huge task to really fight. So remember them in your prayers. Let us continue our prayers in silence. Dear Lord Jesus, we acknowledge our weakness before so many challenges that we face in our life. Challenges that come from different directions in our personal lives. And this huge challenge that this whole state of California and many different parts of our country have faced. They are too overwhelming for us to handle, and we definitely need your intervention and your involvement in our lives. So we come individually and as a community and as a nation to you, asking you to have mercy upon us, that we may receive courage and hope during this time of struggle, that we may see that you are deeply involved in our lives and receive strength and courage from it, that we may be able to trust in you, in your power during the difficulties, that we may draw strength from you, O Lord. We are so fragile before the harsh realities of life. But Lord, as you always have been, you are our sovereign God, that we can rely upon you, that we can trust in you, that you can believe that you will get us out of these harsh situations. So have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon the state, and have mercy upon our nation, O Lord, and upon this world. We pray that your intervention will lead us into the new development of vaccines to fight this terrible virus, that your intervention will continue to strengthen us in such a way that we will be able to fight on without being discouraged, without giving up. So we come to you acknowledging that you live in God, that we are being cared by your power because you are in our life. And as we join our hearts in prayer together with people far from near, we acknowledge that you have everything under your control, that you continue to fulfill your will upon our life, upon this church, upon our communities and our nation and the world. So we join our prayers together, praying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Deb, we look forward to your Young at Heart segment.
Ordinary Mary was so very ordinary that you'd never guess she could change the world. This ordinary kid, she did. She changed the world. One ordinary day, skipping on her way from her ordinary school to her ordinary house, she passed an ordinary vacant lot filled with ordinary bushes growing ordinary blueberries. Ordinary blue and juicy, luscious, lovely berries. Well, Ordinary Mary picked the ordinary berries and brought them in a big brown bowl to Mrs. Bishop's porch. What? Left berries in a big brown bowl on Mrs. Bishop's porch? That sneaky kid? She did. This made Mrs. Bishop very, very happy, so she baked a big batch of blueberry muffins and thought of five people who might have brought those beautiful berries, and then secretly gave each a plate. How great! Five people got a plate. One of those five was her paper boy, Billy Parker. And when Billy saw his name on a note in the driveway on a plate, he quickly parked his bike and ate every crumb. Oh, yum, 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 he ate every crumb. This made him so glad that the next five people got their papers on the porch and not in the bushes where he often threw them. In fact, they were handed right to them. One of those five was Mr. Stevens, who was so amazed that he smiled for 10 hours on the airplane and then said to five different people who had heavy bags, "Here, let me help you." He still smiled, and they did too. One of those five was Maria, whose cranky little boy James stopped crying when Mr. Stevens played peekaboo with him until their ride came. When he waved goodbye, Maria exclaimed, "How strange that a stranger would be so sweet." And the next day when she was out shopping, once, twice, five times, she did something nice for five different people, five times without stopping. One of those five was Joseph, old and bent and gray, in front of her in line at the produce stand, when he said, "I guess I counted wrong. I don't really need these oranges." Little James reached out to him with an orange from their basket, and Maria put a coin in Joseph's hand and said, "Here, take this. The oranges are on us." As Joseph shuffled to the bus, his heart was full and his eyes were wet, and his hands did helpful things for the next five people he met. One of those five was Sarah, a college girl who was off to see the world and stopped at Joseph's shop. When her bag broke and her things fell all over the floor, she said, "Oh, what will I do?" Joseph said, "This is for you." And he gave her a new bag woven with his own hands in purple and red and green. "Oh, thank you," she said. "It's the loveliest bag I've ever seen." When Sarah left, she felt sunny as noon, and she just had to shine on five people soon. One of those five was Sophia, whom she met on a boat, looking like the world might end, looking like someone without a friend. "What beautiful blue eyes you have," Sarah said, "and they're just the color of the flowers in your lovely dress." "Yes," said Sophia. "Oh, yes," said Sarah. Beautiful blue eyes shed a happy tear, and when the boat trip was through, Sophia called five people to make them happy too. One of those five was Tom, her son the doctor, who was having a very hard day. Hi, she said. I love you, Tom. Well, how great to hear your voice, he sighed. I always need my mom. Dr. Tom was so cheered up that on his next break, he bought a big bunch of bright balloons for 5 young patients, and he handed them out right then and there. One of those 5 was Peter, a little boy who went home from the hospital that very day. Gratitude for the big bunch of bright balloons filled him and thrilled him and spilled out of him and into the next 5 people who came his way. One of those 5 was Eric, a teenage boy whose sacks and such were way too much. When one dropped on the sidewalk, Peter stopped his play and rushed right over saying, "Super wheels to the rescue!" Well, Eric was no longer stressed and was very impressed and made a mental note that very afternoon to help 5 people and do it soon. One of those 5 was Di, his 10-year-old sister who didn't have many friends and was painfully shy. When Eric said, "Hey, sis, want to come to the park and learn how to ride my skateboard?" She looked at him wide-eyed. "Serious?" she cried. "Sure," he said. And because of her brother, Di decided maybe she could be a friend to another 5 others. One of those 5 was Louise, a homeless woman who lived under the trees. She could hardly believe her ears when she heard Di say, "May my brother and I buy you a hot dog and a drink at that stand over there?" Could it be true? Someone actually cared? Cared enough to give her food and a smiley-faced ring that was practically new? Louise was so pleased that she decided that even though she had nothing, she would find 5 others and give them something. One of those 5 was Mr. Taylor, who lost his wallet in the park. Louise found it full of 5s and 10s and 20s. Oh, what she could do with all that money. But she found his name and called his home, and over he came. He was so impressed that she was honest in spite of being poor, he offered her a job in his store and vowed to do something generous for 5 people or more. One of those 5 was Kate, a woman on vacation, who wanted to see a show she'd heard was a sensation. "Oh no," she said, "it's sold out, but I'm going home tomorrow." And her face filled with sorrow. Mr. Taylor held out his ticket. "I live here," he said. "I can go any time. Take mine." Kate loved the show and was so touched that she thought buying 5 presents for 5 people back home would be really fun. And one of those 5 presents was a little heart necklace for Mary, her niece. You should have seen her eyes light up in surprise. Mary? What, ordinary Mary? Yes. Ordinary Mary's extraordinary deed had come full circle and on its way had changed the lives of every person living. You see, when Mrs. Bishop made muffins from Mary's blueberries, not only the paper boy, Billy Parker, but the other 4 people too, made 5 people smile, and those 5 did too, and after a while, in only 15 days, love was sent to every person everywhere. Just see how it went. Well, 6 billion is even more than all the people on the planet. So after everyone had a share and everybody knew that somebody cared, there was even love left over. The world was changed, and thousands and billions agreed. It was all because one ordinary day, ordinary Mary did a perfectly ordinary, stunningly earth-shaking, totally extraordinary deed. Of course, this math only works if we reach out to new people all the time, not the same people over and over. So let's reach out to someone new every day. Amen.
Thank you, Deb. Our next hymn is number 142. If thou but suffer God to guide thee.
Thank you.
and hope in God all thy ways. God will give strength for every sigh. Trust in God, so changing God, God, God,
morning scripture comes to us from the New Testament of from John, the chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. During this time, Jesus has performed several miracles of healing, and of course, everyone is looking. The Pharisees are looking at what he does and how he is doing that. And this is starting with verses 11. He talks to the people speaking with. And of course, the Pharisees are listening. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own knows me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to me and to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word.
Thanks be to God. I send warm greeting to each and every one of you worshiping with us here in the sanctuary and at home, wherever you may be. I like to thank each and every one of you who have come to join our worship this morning. It surely encourages me, your presence, and your presence encourage each other as well. A middle-aged woman had a heart attack. Then, while on the operating table, she had a near-death experience. She saw God and asked if this was the end. God said no, that she had another 30 to 40 years to live. Sure enough, she recovered and decided to remain in the hospital to have a facelift, liposuction, a tummy tuck, and she dyed her hair, all the others. She figured since she had another 30 or 40 years, she might as well make the most of it. She walked out of the hospital after the last operation and was immediately hit by an ambulance. She arrived before God and whined, "I thought you said I had another 30 or 40 years." God replied, "Sorry, I didn't recognize you." God is omniscient and He knows everything about us. And on this particular theme, I'd like to go along with the lesson that Ralph just read, but also in addition to that, I would like us to study together on the story of Nathanael's encounter of Jesus. We just read, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." There are many places that indicate about God's knowledge of us, how perfect that is. Let me quote some examples of God's knowledge of us from the Old Testament. Psalm 22 says, "From birth I was cast upon you. From my mother's womb you have been my God." God's knowledge of us starts from the moment when we do not know Him at all. Isaiah 43, this is what the Lord says, "He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine." God knowing us by name means His profound knowledge of us. Isaiah 49, "See, I have engraved you in the palm of my hands." God looks at us right before His eyes and sees every detail and every aspect of our life. This goes along with Psalm 139. "You have searched me, Lord. You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." Now, let's go to the gospel lesson from this perspective. The first chapter of John records Nathanael's encounter with Jesus. And that sheds light on how much God knows us. I did not choose it as the text gospel reading because you are very familiar with it. This encounter happened on the second day of Jesus' public ministry. Jesus just came out in public and started His ministry by calling His disciples. Jesus called Andrew and Peter on the first day. On the second day, Jesus called Philip. Philip then told Nathanael, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nazareth. Can anything good come from there? Nathanael asked. Jesus became very popular, but at this stage, not many people have heard of him. As Nathanael indicated, he never heard of Jesus, nor did he meet him. He had no knowledge of Jesus whatsoever. On the contrary, Jesus already knew Nathanael full well. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he spoke about him. Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Nathanael was blown away by Jesus' remark and said, "How do you know me?" Usually it takes time to get to know a person. At the first sight, it is impossible to figure out a stranger's personality, character, and his lifestyle. But as Jesus knew Nathanael, God knows us inside and out. God knows our experience, tendency, habitual way of doing things, character, desires, capabilities, needs, preferences, our thoughts and our mind, and all the others. When we know someone very well, we could predict what he would do next. Likewise, God knows our past and present. He knows our tendency and can tell exactly where we would be at a certain point in time in the future. To Nathanael, wondering about how Jesus knew him already, Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." There are some profound meanings in Jesus' word here. Jesus noticed Nathanael before Philip called him. There was no connection built yet between Jesus and Nathanael. Nathanael was just one of thousands or tens of thousands or more that Jesus had passed by. But Jesus took note of him. Equally, we may think that we are insignificant, unworthy of God's attention, but God knows who we are and where we are. Now, let's focus on the part that Jesus saw Nathanael while he was still under the fig tree. What does Jesus having seen him under the fig tree mean? Does Jesus' word indicate anything distinctive here? Let me give you some illustration to help you understand. And Dave, if you would show the picture of the fig tree. Not all of you have seen this fig tree that we have in the back of our church campus. I was told someone brought the tree from Israel and planted it some years ago. So this is an exact kind of fig tree that grows in Israel that Nathanael might be under. And I'm going to show you a leaf in here. Look at this leaf. I brought it this morning from the fig tree. See how big this is? See? It can't even almost cover my face. With this kind of leaf, fig trees make not only a nice and thick shade from the sun, but they could be used as a covering. Now, look at the fig tree again. Would you show the second picture? Okay, now you see any difference in there? I'm sitting under the fig tree. I'm not that noticeable, am I? You know, we trim the branches regularly, and leaves are still very thick. In my opinion, the fig tree under which Nathanael was sitting would have hung low to the ground, that he was hardly noticeable by anyone. But Jesus did. So when Jesus said, "I saw you while you were under the fig tree," it's like Nathanael was just blown away because nobody would have noticed him. What would have been the reason for Nathanael to sit under the tree? It was probably what Nathanael intended. This man, without a deceit, probably had seen enough of injustices, trickeries, corruptions, dishonesty, and oppressions. He tried to change the world, but his effort did not produce a tangible result. So out of frustration, he stopped trying. He wanted to be alone for a breathing space from all the deceitful activities out in the world. Also consider this. Figs are harvested from spring to summer. When Jesus saw Nathanael, it would have been a busy time in farming communities. Jesus called Peter and Andrew by the Sea of Galilee, and Andrew, Peter, and Philip were from the same town called Bethsaida, near the Sea of Galilee. Men from that region would work either in fishing or farming during the particular time of day or the particular time of the year. But Nathanael did not. He appeared to be killing time, maybe out of frustrations. I wonder if any of us have been in this kind of situation. We try to live truthfully before God and people, but often we are discouraged because we do not see the result of our efforts. We try to make a difference, but our effort does not improve the situation. So in disappointment, we sit under the fig tree pondering if we should continue. You know, sitting and idling are not exactly pleasant, because work gives sense of fulfillment and joy to us. When we do not have anything to work on, we would lose purpose. When we do not work, we feel like we are not needed and we are not appreciated. But see what happened when Nathanael sat under the fig tree? Jesus did not see how unproductive Nathanael was. Jesus instead saw his inner quality and saw the goodness hidden inside of him. Sitting under the fig tree is an expression of spiritual crisis with frustration, disappointment for oneself and the world. Under the fig tree is not a pleasurable place to be. It is a place of discouragement, skepticism, a place without motivation to fight on. A remedy to overcome this crisis is found in the gospel, and that is God's knowledge of us. As Jesus noticed Nathanael, even hidden behind the fig tree shade, Jesus knows our heart and our endeavors. Nathanael never sensed that he was being watched by the higher being. We may not sense it either, but God knows us and watches over us. If you happen to be under the fig tree today, remember, God's eyes is upon you. What happened to Nathanael following the encounter? There are only two places in the whole gospel that records about Nathanael. Interestingly, at the very beginning and at the very end of Jesus' public ministry, the first chapter and the last chapter of John's Gospel. In chapter 21, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus helped them catch fish after they spent the night and did not catch anything. Nathanael was among those most trusted disciples. Some say that Nathanael was one of the 12 disciples and was named Bartholomew, but this theory is not strongly established. As he was under the fig tree, Nathanael continued to be hidden in the gospel, but remained very faithful until the end. His presence with the disciples after the resurrection was a good indication that Nathanael had devotedly followed Jesus all throughout. There would be many under the fig tree moment during the course of our life. What comforts us during such a moment is the fact that Jesus perfectly knows who we are and where we are and what we are going through. I love the hymn that we sang. If thou but suffer God to guide thee and hope in him through all thy ways, he will give thee strength whatever betide thee and bear thee through the evil days. Who trusts in God's unchanging love builds on the rock that naught can move. Only be still and wait his leisure in cheerful hope with heart content to take whatever thy Father's pleasure and all deserving love has sent. Nor doubt our inmost wants are known to him who chose us for his own. Sing, pray, and keep his ways unswerving. So do thine own part faithfully and trust his word, though undeserving. Thou yet shalt find it true for thee. God never forsook at need the soul that trusted him indeed. I feel like this was the song for Nathanael. He knew that he was noticed, he was known by God, and he faithfully followed him, even though he was not recognized by his disciples and publicly, and his name was not even recorded in the gospel except those two places. Is any one of us sitting under the fig tree today? We have lived faithfully but have not seen good result. Let us not be disappointed by it, because God knows our efforts. Even if no one would recognize our good works, God appreciates them. Maybe some of us during the pandemic would feel like Nathanael. No one take notice of me. But remember, God does. Our situation and our needs are known to God, and that's all we need. Amen.
Please continue to send your offerings and your pledges into the church office and drop them off or use the mail. Thank you.
In the Lord, wait patiently for him, and he
Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures ye below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the Spirit. Lord Jesus Christ, we are so thankful for your cross. We are forever indebted to what you did in Calvary. So as we commit our lives once more to live for your glory, we give this token of our thankfulness and our commitment to carry out your will in the world today. So, Lord, bless this offering that it may be used to carry out the mission and ministry that you have given unto us. And we bless you as you continue to bless us and sustain us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our closing hymn is number 130, God Will Take Care of You, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Be not be delayed, be tried, God will take care of you. In his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day. God will take care of you. Through days of toil when heart does fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Thank you for your awesome presence in our lives. Even when we feel unworthy, you are still there. You continue to watch over us and provide our needs. So help us to be mindful of your unfailing presence, that we may receive encouragement and strength, that we may continue to carry out your will very faithfully, as Nathanael did. So send us forth with the assurance of your presence, that we may go from here and carry out your will in this world today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Never be afraid.